Turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 23. Matthew chapter number 23 for a few moments this morning as you pray for us. I know we've been studying in the book of Matthew now for a good while, and we want to continue that study this morning. Now, for those who have been in the service or in the service last Sunday and over the last few weeks, of course, we took a little break and had some other thoughts, but we've been looking here in, about the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and of course, we're getting closer and closer to Calvary as we come to these closing chapters, if you will, of his life here on this earth. But as we all know today, or at least I hope you know, that he's alive and well today, and I'm thankful for that. But we find in his life, in his ministry, of course, last week we talked about how the Sadducees had come to question him concerning some things about the resurrection. We talked about that on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Of course, we looked here at the Pharisees and these two great commandments. And as you end up in chapter number 22, of course, the tide begins to turn. Jesus begins now to question the Pharisees here in the latter part of chapter number 22 and concerning his deity and some different things there. And I'm not going to deal with that this morning. I want to come to chapter number 23 as now we find that Jesus begins to talk about the scribes and the Pharisees, and this is a rather lengthy chapter, and I'm not going to read all the chapter certainly this morning, and I'm not going to try to preach all this chapter today, but as you look at it, there's a lot of things concerning the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus relays here, and he, let me say this, he didn't cut no corners. He just told it like it was, and we find a lot of people says, well, I thought he was love, and certainly he is, but he also, he told it like it was, and he wants you and I to tell it like it is, amen? And so we find that Jesus does that here with the scribes and the Pharisees, and again, very kind of a lengthy chapter, and as you look at it, you might just skip over it and say, well, that doesn't apply to us, but I believe there are some things here today that we can apply from this chapter in our own hearts and our own lives, and especially if you do not know Christ as your Savior. You may be religious today, but you may be lost. And today the Bible says you must be born again. But the thought I want to share with you, maybe the first 12 verses today, or that's what we're going to read. And the Lord give me this thought on this portion of Scripture. It'd simply be this: beware of dead religion. Beware of dead religion. And as a subtitle, I want you to think about this: genuine or counterfeit. Genuine or counterfeit. Are you genuine today in your Christian life, in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you living a counterfeit? Now, that's not to make you doubt today. I'm certainly, I don't want to ever do that. We've preached on that before. But I want you to consider in your heart today, are you genuine or are you counterfeit? And I believe Jesus addresses some things concerning the scribes and the Pharisees here in this text that will help us today to determine, are we genuine or are we counterfeit? So that being said this morning, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I want to invite you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's okay. Verse number 1 of chapter number 23, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus." Again, the tide's been turned now, and Jesus is going to do some talking. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, all those that have come to question Jesus. And we talked a lot about that, but now notice the tide is turned, and Jesus is doing the talking. You may be doing the talking today, but there's one day that he's going to do the talking. And you better listen now. But notice what he says in verse number 1. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude," not only to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and to the disciples, but for all that were present, heard Jesus as he made his remarks to the scribes and the Pharisees. Notice in verse 2, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after," notice now, "their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, now notice in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. Notice that. I like that statement. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is, notice in verses 11 and 12, we probably won't get this far today, but and we may talk about this a little bit tonight, but notice what he says in verses 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whatsoever, or whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased or brought low. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we do bow in your presence today, Lord, thanking you again for this day, thanking you for health and strength and certainly the opportunity and the privilege to be able to come back to your house. Thank you for this good number that's come out on this Lord's Day. And Lord, we thank you for the teaching. We thank you for the singing. And Lord, our young people, Lord, all that took part, Lord, in the service today, Father, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray, Father, for the next few moments that he, the Holy Ghost of God, will just fill this place. And I pray this morning, God, that you'll anoint me afresh and anew. God, I pray that you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Lord, I pray that our ears and our hearts will be open and tender and receptive to that which you have for us. Help each of us to search our hearts today. And Lord, truly today we want to be genuine. Lord, we don't want to be a counterfeit. Lord, we certainly don't want to be a part of dead religion. So I pray today, God, you'd help us to search our hearts. I pray for that one that could be here today. Lord, they've never truly been born again. They can't say with all their heart that their name's been written there. I pray, oh God, today would you convict them and draw them. Lord, this very day may they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as Christians today. Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we'd guard our hearts and our lives from doing anything of a pharisaical spirit. And Lord, today I pray that you'd help each of us again to be that, Lord, which you'd be pleased with. And Lord, I pray again, I yield myself to you. Forgive me of my sin, my shortcoming, my faults, my fears. I pray you'll help me now as I stand and help us to be obedient. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments again today, I want us to consider the thought of beware of dead religion, genuine or counterfeit. And tonight we may address some of the woes here, starting in verse 13. Let me give you the three sections that I feel like that the Lord's impressed upon my heart from this chapter. And again, we're not going to cover the whole chapter this morning, but I feel like that, number one, we find that Jesus gives a warning in the verses that I've read into your hearing this morning. And then we find that Jesus pronounces some woes unto the Pharisees and to the scribes. And I want to talk about those just while we won't have time this morning, but I hope you can come back tonight. If you can, I want you to read through that and see and understand that, again, Jesus is just calling it like it is. And so that not to hurt them, but to bring them to the realization that what they're doing as far as religion is concerned is just as dead as it can be. In other words, they're just counterfeits. They're not genuine. And certainly, I hope you'll consider that and look at that. And then the third division I see in this is the weeping, and that's in the latter part of this chapter, and I'll deal with that later. But today I want to deal here again with the thought of genuine or counterfeit. Here we find that Jesus calls out the scribes and the Pharisees for their outward and prideful lifestyle of religion, but of no relationship and true obedience to the Scriptures and to the Savior. Let each of us again allow the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and be genuine and not a counterfeit. Now, that word counterfeit, I'm going to give you the word counterfeit. Then I'm going to give you the word genuine. Most of us know what something is if it's counterfeit. And most of us, when we think about counterfeit, we think about counterfeit money. But there's a lot of other things that are counterfeited, certainly in the world in which we live today. But I like those things which are genuine. Amen? I like those things which are genuine, the real thing. And so the word counterfeit simply means to be made an exact imitation of something valuable or important with the intention to deceive or to defraud. It also means to deceive individuals into believing that the fake is of equal or greater value than the real thing. Let me give you a quick illustration. Back in 1985, now some of our young people don't have no idea what I'm talking about, but back in 1985, that's the year I graduated high school, by the way, back in 1985, Coca-Cola come up with this great idea that they was going to come out with a new Coke, and they was going to change the recipe. And if you remember what happened then, of course, Coca-Cola's always been known as what? The real thing. And so when they changed that, it absolutely liked to put the company out of business. I mean, within 3 months, they had to do some changing and go back to the original. Hallelujah. Had to go back to the original. If not, the company was going to go broke. Why? Because to everybody that knew the real thing, that was a counterfeit. And they didn't like it. But now the word genuine, it means today, the word genuine means to truly what something is said to be, or to be authentic, or to be real. I don't know about you, but I just want to be authentic. I want to be real. And the problem with the religious people of that day, of the Pharisees and the scribes, and of course he doesn't mention the Sadducees here, but what he's doing is telling that crowd, surveying their life and the things that they are doing, letting them know that they don't have the real thing. And so today, each of us need to search our own heart and our own life. As I've already said, I will make sure I'm genuine. I'm real. I'm not much this morning. I don't claim to be much. But I'm glad there is one thing that I can tell you today. As they sing about in the song today, I'm glad that my name is written there. I'm glad that I've been saved and gloriously born again. Thank God by the power of Almighty God. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad this morning, thank God, hallelujah, that I know, that I know, that I know that I've been born again. That doesn't mean today that I've always lived right, I've always done right. That doesn't mean today that I get everything right. But at the end of the day, I just want to be someone that's genuine. I want my children, I want my grandchildren, I want the congregation, I want the people that I come in contact with to know that what I have, it's real. I want to be genuine. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be part of dead religion. I just want to be real. Why? Because that's what God wants us to be. And we find with these scribes and these Pharisees, there's three things that I want to deal with this morning here in these verses of Scripture concerning them and concerning the thought of being genuine or counterfeit. The first thing that I see this morning, again, is Jesus' warning. And I may not get past the warning that Jesus gives here now in these verses. If not, then we'll probably talk about those woes tonight. But I want you to consider here Jesus' warning now to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's warning them. Why does God send out a warning? Because that He loves us. Amen. He loves us today. God's not warning them to condemn them necessarily. They're going to condemn them on their own selves because of their rejection of the things of God. And so I want you to think about three things within this warning. Number one, here Jesus mentions their position. Their position. Notice their position here in verse number one. Notice the Bible says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples. Verse 2, we see the position saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seed. In other words, I believe what Jesus is teaching us here, he's warning us against a pharisaical spirit. Now, we don't have Pharisees in our day as far as they did like in Jesus' day, certainly upholding the law and talking about the law. I'm glad we're under grace. And thank God for grace today. But I'll tell you, if we're not careful even in our day, we will obtain a pharisaical spirit. Boy, I don't want no pharisaical spirit. I don't want to be liberal in my thinking and in my living, but I don't want to be pharisaical in my spirit either. And you should not desire that either. Why? Because it's not going to get us anywhere. It's just a sign of dead religion. And so Jesus here, he just brings that to the forefront, and he talks about in this warning, he talks about their position. Now, there's some studying about this Moses seed, and there's some differing ideas on it. I'll tell you what I found, and you can draw your own conclusions. But that Moses seed was a name that was given to a special chair of honor in the synagogue where the authoritative teacher of the law sat. And so we find that they had a position, if you will, of authority. And also, as we think about judgment and all those things, and I don't have time to preach about that today, but let me say this about the position. Some people have a position in life, and they feel like that it puts them above everybody else. See, that's not biblical teaching. That's not teaching the way that Christ lived his life and the way that he served. Listen, hallelujah, we let our positions, if we're not careful, go to our head. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and the scribes were doing. There's some three things that I want to talk about their position. Number one, they abused that position. They abused that position in this life. They thought that they was lords over God's heritage. In other words, they were above the people, above the common man. Now, I want to say this today. Nobody is above anybody else. Now, God gives different people different positions. God's called me into the ministry. That was his doings and not mine. He's the one that called me. I didn't go hunting for it. I didn't go looking for it. Matter of fact, I run from it. But God brought me back to the place and put me in the ministry. And then brought me to this place. And you put me in as your pastor 10 years ago. That's hard to realize. And I don't ever put myself above you. God's given me a call. God's given me a place. But thank God we're all just sinners saved by the grace of Almighty God. These Pharisees and these scribes put themselves above the people. In other words, number one, they abused their position. I think about our modern day politicians. They are abusing their positions. I want to talk about modern day religion. A lot of that are folks abusing their positions. That's not of God today. And so we find that Jesus in this warning begins to reveal some things about this dead religion and brings to our thoughts and to our hearts today the thought of being counterfeit. Just because you have a position in life doesn't mean that you're right with God. Amen. The only way you and I can get right with God is to realize that we're dirty, rotten sinners in need of a Savior and fall on our face. Thank God and accept the wonderful gift of salvation that God has provided for the rich, for the poor, for the red, the yellow, the black, the white. It doesn't make any difference what color your skin is. Doesn't make any difference what your heritage is. Doesn't make any difference where you come from. Doesn't make any difference who your grandma and your grandpa was and your mama and your dad. He was. Thank God all that matters today is you make your way to Calvary. Thank God and get gloriously born again. I'm glad the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved today. Hallelujah. It's for all men. I'm afraid even in the Baptist denomination sometimes we think that we've been separated out and cornered out and nobody else can have what we got. Nothing can be farther from the truth. First of all, I'm saved today. Hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And then I'm a part of a Baptist church. And I'm not going to get into those reasons today. That's what I'm preaching on. But there's a lot of dead religion. There's a lot today done in the name of religion that is absolutely counterfeit. And we think, well, this individual holds this position or that position. And Jesus gets into that in the latter part, certainly of his teaching here. He lets them know the greatest of all is the one that's willing to get down and to serve. Because that's what Jesus done. If you're not willing to serve your fellow brother and sister in Christ, then you might ought to check up. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get off course here if I ain't careful. But Jesus gives a warning. Number one, in their position. And again, we talked about that Moses seat being a seat of authority and a seat where they felt like they were above the people. So they abused their position. Not only do I find that they abused their position, but then I notice their attitude about that position. And we've already made remark to that. What does Paul say in the book of Philippians in chapter number 2 and verse number 5? Just in case you can't remember this morning, let me give you this. He said, "There let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on and talks about how Jesus became a servant. See, that's the kind of mind, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have concerning the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the position of being saved, and the position of whatever God puts us in this walk of life. It is there to do one thing, and that's to serve and to bring honor and glory unto the Son of God. I'm not here today to promote myself. I'm not here today to talk about myself. I'm here today to talk about the one. Thank God that went to Calvary and bled and died and suffered as no man had died and suffered. Why? Because he wasn't guilty. The one that was guilty was me. It was me that was guilty. But thanks be to God, he became a servant. He became a slave. He became the sacrifice. Thank God that would forgive me and cleanse me of my sin today. He warns them of the position that they had taken up over the people. And that pharisaical spirit. You say, well, preacher, we're saved today and we would never fall into that trap. Don't ever say never. Because if you're not careful, you'll fall right into that trap. You'll fall in, if you're not careful, to the teaching of that trap. Huh? Now listen, I preach Christian separation. Why? Because the Bible teaches Christian separation. And I believe that God's people ought to live a separated and a consecrated life. But we don't need to get to the point to where we're pharisaical about it. Y'all with me? I've said this many times, and I'll say it again this morning. If you and I will do what we should do in our areas of separation, our areas of dress, our areas of living outside these four walls, when people come into these four walls, they're going to realize something's different. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. We don't have to kneel down to the world. We don't have to throw our standards out the window. Thank God we can still stand and be separated and consecrated, but yet not be pharisaical in the way that we live our life and present this ministry. Got to be careful. I know some independent Baptists are so independent they can't stand them on themselves. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know some other people of other denominations. They're so independent that they can't stand their own self. Don't be pharisaical. God's given us a position, sure. Let's be Christians, sure. But let's don't get to the place where the Pharisees and the scribes were. They thought themselves above the people. Remember, we're dealing with a lost world around us today. We take for granted that everybody knows what goes on within the walls of the four walls of the church. Now, when I was growing up and I was younger, that was probably true to a greater extent than it is now. People had respect for the house of God. They had respect for the people of God. They had respect for the Lord's day. Hey, we've lost all that. People don't know. People don't know what they don't know. I mean, they don't. Our job is to love on them. Our job is to show them that there is a better way. What is that way? It's the way of the cross. It's the way of the Bible today. Hey, that's what this world needs. They don't need my arrogance or my thoughts or my little pet peeves. What we need today is the Word of the living God, because that's what will change hearts and lives of those around us today. We think everybody's supposed to come in and fit the mold. See, that's what the Pharisees were doing. Everybody's not going to fit your mold. That's the reason we need teaching, we need preaching. And we need to love people. Love them where they're at so we can get them where they need to be. That's my quote. Love them where they're at so you can get them where they need to be. Or help get them to where they need to be. So today, are we genuine or are we counterfeit? Now, Jesus deals with the counterfeit first thing. He talks about their standing. He talks about, in that standing, he talks about how they have abused their position. He talks about, I believe you can see it within the context of the Scriptures. He talks about that attitude. Again, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then thirdly, we find in their position their lack of the application of the Scriptures. Where do you find that? Well, look at verse number 3, I believe it is. Verse 2, excuse me. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do. Hold up right there just a minute. You say, well, preacher, what's that mean? That means if they're teaching the Word of God, you do what the Word of God says. But then notice what Jesus goes on and says. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, if you'll remember back a few weeks ago when I was preaching on the children, I think I made the statement something like this. We tell them, don't do what do what I say, but don't do what I do. And expect them to do it. It ain't happening. If you're not willing to do it, they ain't going to be willing to do it either. That's what Jesus is saying about the Pharisees and the scribes. Listen, as long as they are teaching the law or are telling you what's contained within the Scriptures, but don't do what they're doing. She's given a warning because of their abuse, because of their attitude, and because of their application of the Word of God. I can stand here and preach till I'm blue in the face. Or anybody else can stand here and preach till they fall over. But until you and I are willing to make application. In other words, letting the Word of God work in us and through us. And not passing it on to everybody else. Oh, I've already got that. See, that's what the Pharisees' attitude were. We're up here and you're down here. They wouldn't apply the Word of God to themselves. I wonder how often I've been guilty of that. Oh, it's got quiet now. Probably some other folks have been guilty of that as well. Let's just be honest. We want to be genuine, don't we? We don't want to set one standard for ourselves and then set a different standard for somebody else. See, that's what they were doing in their application. You listen to what I say, but then I'm going to go do what I want to do. You know that's the reason we can't win people today? That's the reason we're losing a lot of our young people today? Because we say one thing in church, and then we go home and live something different. Oh, you think I'm tough? Hey, get on into this text. Man, Jesus just begins to call it like it is. Sometimes we just need to call it like it is. Not mean-spirited, not pharisaical spirit, but just in love and in the truth of the Word of God. If we expect our children to live right and do right, you better live right and do right in front of them. If you expect your children to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you better make sure you got one. If you want your children to grow up and to serve God and be a part of the church and be faithful to it, you better be. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hallelujah! Preacher! Preach on! We're losing them. Now, let me say this. That's not the reason that we're losing all of them. And please don't think I'm saying that. Because there's a lot out there that's pulling against them. How in the world are we ever going to get our neighbors to go to church if we don't? How in the world are we going to get our lost family members to come to church if we won't? And there's more to coming to church than just coming and sitting in a church pew. See, here's the thing I want you to see. See, there's an eternity that's hanging in the balances. See, Jesus is doing all this before the multitude and the disciples and the scribes and the Pharisees to get them to understand that there's an eternity that's hinging on what they're doing. And he even gets into so much, and I may get into this more tonight, but he's talking about them Pharisees and them scribes are actually promoting and pushing people right into hell. Look at it. Study it. And people today take the attitude, well, it don't really matter. It does matter. Not only does your eternity matter, but maybe your children or your grandchildren or your neighbors or the people that you work with. Do you realize everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere? Oh, preacher, just couldn't you come today and just preached on heaven? I'm trying to get us to the place where that'd be that desire of our hearts is to be in heaven and enjoy the trip getting there. And not only enjoy the trip, but certainly be productive in that trip. Because people are watching our life. And if we're one thing here and we're something else different out there, if all we ever do is run the church down and run the preacher down and the deacons down and the Sunday school teacher down and the choir down, how are we ever going to convince anybody else? Yeah, come on down to Pleasant Grove. We'd love to have you down there. Why would I want to go down there? Are we genuine? Or are we counterfeit? Notice number one. He warns them about that position or their position. Number two, he reminds them or warns them of their pride. I found it interesting as I was studying and putting these thoughts together as the Lord gave them to me. The word pride, as we deal with it concerning the things of God and certainly throughout Scripture in the book of Proverbs, I mean pride and all those, I mean time after time is warning us. Why? Because we let pride get in the way. You know what the Pharisees and scribes done? They was letting pride get in the way. Let me give you this about pride. I'm going to try to move on quickly, I promise. Pride, as we think about applied it to the Bible and the way the Scriptures tells us about pride, it's simply this, preferring self-will to God's will. That's a good way to define pride. Again, preferring our will over God's will. In other words, that's what happened to Satan. That's the reason he got cast out along with so many of the angels that followed him. What was it? It was pride. You know what hurts us a lot of times in our own life? It's pride. You know the thing that was counterfeit in the life of the Pharisees and the scribes? It was pride. I over God and his will. Well, I'll be honest with you, preacher, I see it this way. And another person says, I see it that way. It's not my way that we need to see it. It's not your way that we need to see it. It's God's way. When you and I got gloriously born again, we submitted our lives, our very being, into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, here am I, save me, and then take me and use me. How many times do we let I get in the way? Notice he warns them of their position. He warns them of their pride. Remember one of the things that God hates? Out of Proverbs 6, a proud look. And boy, these scribes and these Pharisees, they had it, and Jesus warns them of it. But not only that, but another verse of Scripture that a lot of people don't realize is there, or they never think about it or hear about it, but it's Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. Wow, how that needs to be preached in our churches. You know what brings contention in our churches? You know what brings contention in our families a lot? It's pride. I knew we weren't going to be able to swing from the chandeliers this morning, but that's all right. Sometimes the Lord needs to come by and speak to me and say, wait just a minute. Don't let your position become pharisaical. Don't let your pride become pharisaical. And I'll be honest with you, if all of us would be honest before the Lord this morning, we'd have to say, Lord, I need some help there too. Why? Because I don't want to be counterfeit. I want to be genuine. Notice he mentions or warns against the pride. Let me give you a couple of things about it. How do we know that it's pride? Well, look back with me quickly here in the text, and I promise I'm trying to get done. They sit in Moses' seat. Here's the warning with that. Notice in verse 3 again. For they say and they do not. In other words, they think it's good enough for everybody else, but don't apply to them. That's pride. Not only do they say and do not, in doing that, they exalt themselves. That's what pride does. It exalts our being and not his. So we see in the pride, it exalts themselves. Not only that, but the expectation that they put on everybody else. Look in verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's pride. They exalt themselves. They put expectations on others that they're not willing to do themselves. And I could spend a lot of time right here, but I'm going to try to move on, I promise. We expect everybody else to do it when we're not willing to do it ourselves. Wow, is this not sobering? Let the preacher do it. Well, I dare say if the preacher's not willing to do it, then you need another preacher. I vacuumed floors. I picked up paper. I've helped clean up. M- Matter of fact, I've run soundboard for funerals. I don't sing in the choir much or none at all because I don't want to run everybody else off. I run enough off preaching. I mean, that just clear everybody out. But see, it's having a willingness to serve, to get ourselves out of the way. Preacher, I wouldn't be willing to do that. Well, now, God's not going to ask you to do everything that He asks somebody else to do necessarily, but you need to be willing. I could dare say I could start a visitation program and say, be here tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, or be here Saturday at 10 o'clock, and we're going to go visiting. I wonder how many come. I've tried it before, by the way. Man, it got really quiet there, didn't it? There's opportunities out there to minister. But people got to be willing to do it. I love you today. I'm not preaching this morning. God's preaching to me just as I preach it to you. But I'm going to stand before Him one day. And I'm going to give an account of what I've stood in this pulpit and I've said and how I've conducted myself. And have I been genuine or have I been counterfeit? He warns them of their position. He warns them of their pride. And sometimes we need to be warned of our pride. Because pride brings contention. Pride goeth before a fall. Oh, so many things I could say there. Notice in their pride, they exalt themselves. Notice they put expectations on others when they're not willing to do it themselves. And then they enlarge themselves. I've got to get done here. Verse 5 says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They enlarge themselves. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. They make broad their phylacteries. The phylactery was simply a little leather box that they put the scriptures on or the law on, and they would either put it around their forehead, and some would have one around their forehead and some around their forearm. And they would carry it around like. You see that right there? You see that, don't you? I wish I'd have made me some, put them on. See, they enlarge themselves. That's pride. Aren't you glad that God's no respecter of persons? Is that not what the Scripture says? Thank God for that. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That means He doesn't want to exclude anybody. He wants everybody to be a part of it. But notice their pride. They exalt themselves. They put expectation on others, and they enlarge themselves with the phylacteries. Notice they enlarge the borders of their garments. Now, if you go back studying the Old Testament, all of them were to have borders around their garments. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they enlarge theirs. Look at me. Look at me. God help us today. Lord, I don't want to be counterfeit. I want to be genuine. But here, God's given us, through His own Son, some things that we need to consider in a warning. Their position, number two. Notice again, they love the upper rooms, again, enlarging themselves. They love greetings in the marketplace. Unfortunately, I've known preachers that felt like when they was out in the crowd that they were supposed to be bigger and better. Now, I think they ought to be respected. But they ought not to put themselves above everybody else. I'm flesh just like you are. I'm a sinner just like you are. But I'm glad I'm saved. And I want to live in such a manner that promotes the office and not take away from it. But that's what they were doing. Why? Because of pride. And then thirdly today, and I'm done. Notice Jesus' pattern for that which is genuine. And you find that starting in verse number 8 through verse number 12. Let me just give you some things about Jesus' pattern of being genuine. He gives us two things there, the position and the pride concerning that which is counterfeit. And then he talks about that which is genuine. Let me just read it to you quickly and we'll be done. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You want to be genuine? Just serve. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, or again brought low. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Exalt yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. Does the Bible not say something like that? You don't have to go around promoting yourself. I'm a little wary of people go around promoting themselves. Especially when it comes to the Christian faith. See, Jesus is warning against a pharisaical spirit. Don't let your position make you feel like that you're above somebody. Don't let that pride get in the way of us yielding ourselves and humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, here am I. As Isaiah done, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, use me. Lord, I'm willing to go. And then he gives us a pattern. You want to be genuine. Just be willing to serve. Just being willing to humble yourself. And say, Lord, I realize I'm nothing. But with you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. They done their things through the power of the flesh and to please the flesh. If we're going to be genuine, we need to do it in the power of the Spirit to please the Savior. I'm not here today to please you. I want to be pleasing to you, but my number one goal is not to please you. Somebody said, boy, I can sure believe that now. My goal today is number one to be pleasing. How can I be pleasing to Him? To serve Him in the capacity in which He's put me in. And to do it with all my heart. Not for gain, not for notoriety, not for popularity, but to serve. Today, are you counterfeit or are you genuine? Now, that's the warning. Then he talks about the woes. Hey, you think the warning's bad? Wait till you get into the woes. Today, we just want to be genuine. And let me say this in closing. Sometimes that's a struggle. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's a matter of fact, let me go one farther. Probably all the time it's a struggle. Because we all fight against the same thing. But greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. It's who I'm going to yield to. It's who we're going to yield to. Who have you yielded yourself to? Have you been saved? If not, today you need to be saved. Today, have you let a position in life, have you let pride in life take you away from the pattern that Jesus has for us and just humbling ourselves before Him and saying, God, I realize I'm nothing. But Lord, I submit myself to you. Take me and use me. Let's stand our feet all over the building. I want you to come play just as I am. The musicians want you to come play just as I am, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Just as I am, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, We sure do love you today. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, thank you for reminding us today through the Word of God. And Lord, I realize that I'm nothing. Lord, I'm not trying to stand here and put myself above anybody. Lord, I needed this as much as anybody in this building today. I don't want to ever be considered a counterfeit. I want to be genuine. Don't want to be a part of dead religion that's dooming people to a place called hell. Because that's exactly what these Pharisees were doing. And Jesus even relays that message in these verses. Lord, I want to point people to the Lamb of God. I want to point them to a place called heaven. I want to point them to a man by the name of Jesus. Lord, help us that we might humble ourselves and again not let position or pride stand in our way of being genuine. Help us each today, Father, to search our hearts. And Lord, if there be anything in our hearts today that is hindering us from being genuine, I pray we'd yield it to you today. And then I pray, Lord, if for someone here that's never truly been born again, I pray today would be the day they come, give their heart and their life unto thee. Take the invitation, use it, and Lord, we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as they play softly.